This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. Now, this is episode 91. This is the Quantum of Solace from 2008. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys, we are now to the second movie in the Daniel Craig era. Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Quantum of Solace?
Sheesh. Well, okay, I saw this at the theater, and then I want to say I'm pretty sure I saw it on Blu-ray when it came out. But when I was watching it, I just remembered, like, certain scenes. So I'm going to say it's been, I don't know, whenever the Blu-ray came out, maybe around that time, 10 years, 12 years? Because this came out in 2008 and it's 2021. Mm-hmm. So 12 years at least since I've seen it. It's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's been a while. It's weird when you go back to watch movies, like once you pop them in, you go, oh man, I haven't seen this in a long time. But this one, I had not seen this one in a long time. We're gonna dive deep into why we have not seen this movie in a long time. But with that said, for those of you that are new to the channel or you new to listening to us on the go on the podcast, we break these down into categories. We have lead character, main villain, action scenes, storyline, overall, total points. And then, of course, we go right into the box office numbers, Rotten Tomatoes. And then we're going to start it off with the opening title sequence. The only time we have a new category, but that does not add to the actual categories for our overall movie experience of reviewing. So with that said, let's start it off with some box office numbers. All right. Here we go. Yep. Quantum of Solace 2008, $168 million domestic. International, $421 million. We all knew that. Yeah. Worldwide total of $589 million on a budget of $200 million. Nate?
Oh, my God. Well, that budget is enormous. and I have questions about it, but I'll save it for the review. Yeah. That's not surprising. James Bond is sort of the world's franchise. I don't consider it it's not a Hollywood movie, really. It's like, it's very European. You know, it's British. It's all central. You know, everything is in England. The only American is here is like some CIA stuff. So it's not an American property, but it does well here. But yeah, it's not surprising that overseas it like makes three times as much every single time, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, look, we gave you guys our box office numbers. Now you guys get to see how it did in the box office. Now let's check out what the critics and audience have to say about this movie.
Well, all right. Critics score. So this is on the lower end, I'm assuming. I haven't looked at all the other ones. I don't know. I look at these when we do them, but I'm assuming it's on the lower end, but it's still certified fresh, 64%. So it's not high, but it's not rotten. Anything under 60, that's considered rotten. It's still fresh, 64. Audience score, though, rotten, 58%. 58. Mm. So they're pretty close together. I feel like 64 and 58 is pretty much equal. You know what I mean? If you're within 5-6 points of each other, I guess they felt the same way, but critics liked it slightly more.
Well, if you think about it, the last episode that we did, episode 89, was Casino Royale. That was a 94 critics percent. And then, of course,
way better.
Yeah, that was way better. And then audience was 89. So
this took a huge nosedive. 30% less for the critics and 40% less for the audience.
Yeah.
30%, something like that.
Yeah. So look, with that said, let's get right into this movie review. We're going to start off with the opening title sequence with Alicia Keys. Yeah. Jack White, and I think it was called Another Way to Die. That's what it is.
All right.
Go ahead.
So check this out. When this song started, I honestly, only thing I remembered about it was who sang it. Like, I remember it was Jack White and Alicia Keys. Small background. I like Jack. I like the White Stripes. I like the White Stripes as a band. I like Jack White as a musical artist. I think he's really cool. Good on the guitar. Cool lyrics. He has a very distinct style, though. Okay. And Alicia Keys, I mean, you can't really say much. She is a huge star. Well, especially at the time, huge musical star and has some great music. You know, especially if you're into like, I wouldn't call it R&B, kind of pop, but she's a good singer, right? A terrible mix. I didn't remember this song, but when they sing the chorus, it's at such a high pitch. And I had the sound bar on. I'm like, it sounds ugly. I don't like how it sounded. Their voices don't mesh well together. If it was just one or the other, I think it would have worked better. But the song itself is just, it's okay. I kind of like the music. I don't really like the singing. So even though I like the artist, I don't like them together. And I didn't think the song was very good. It's not memorable, obviously, because I really didn't. The Chris Cornell song from the last movie was memorable. I still know how it goes right now. I can't tell you how this song goes. And I just heard it like about 2 hours ago. So now, as far as the sequence, I like the sequence better than the Casino Royale one, personally. Like the actual visuals with the sand and the blue and the gun. Like it's CGI. The naked girls are back. They were kind of missing from the Casino Royale one. They're back here. You know, I did like that slightly better, but I like the song a lot less. This one's only like a 3 for me. It's not bad, but most of it goes to the visual. It does look cool, the whole thing. I like the little red circles going into the name and stuff. So I like the visuals. I did not like the song.
You know, I agree with you. This is funny. This is a flip-flop from the first movie. Yeah. I did not like the song. And I remember the damn song. It's like, dim, dim, the woman. It's really horrible. And it's not a 007 song. Like, there's some, I mean, out of all the 25s, they're going to be hit or miss. You know, you got Duran Duran for A View to a Kill. I mean, you got Tina Turner, GoldenEye. Like, you got so many big stars or whatever. Some of them are hit or miss. Some of them fit. Some of them don't. This is, I totally agree with you 1,000%. This is one of the weirdest freaking mixes. When I was in the theater, when we were watching this in IMAX in the theater in 08, me and my wife, when it came down to it, I was like, what the heck? Like, I was looking at her, this is whack. And you know what? Even watching it, this is the first time I watched all the way up to the middle, and then I fast forward. I was like, I cannot sit through this whole song. It's really bad.
It sounds ugly.
It's horrible. You know, with that said, I'm going to be Evil Nate in this one. I gave it a 2. One for, actually, I just gave it both for the visuals. I thought the visuals were really good. The song just stinks. Let's just be honest.
You're right. Yeah
it's
right.
A 2.
It's not good.
It's not a good song. And once, of course, we're going to be ranking it, you guys already know which is going to be the last one. So we're not even going to give you guys like what it is. You already know it's going to be Quantum of Solace. But with that said, let's get right into the actual movie review. Daniel Craig as Bond. As the lead character, Nate.
Okay, so I gave him a sturdy and solid 5, I think, last time. I loved him. I loved him in Casino Royale. You know, he does what is probably written on the paper in this movie, but maybe it was just me. You know, when you go, I'll find out. But he just felt so much more dull in this movie than he did in in Casino Royale. The action scenes, he's still amazing in. He's great. Physicality, looks, you know, great, fantastic, right? But what was missing was he didn't really have a lot of the one-liner, you know, like the quippy kind of jokey one-liners?
Mm-hmm.
Not in this movie. This is Solace, the Quantum of Solace, the Quantum of Silence, it should have been called. He barely talks. Like, I feel like he barely talks. You know what I mean? So that hurt in the character department. And I don't know. He was just like, this is like if Casino Royale is pissed off James Bond, this one is like sad James Bond. And I don't particularly am not a fan of sad James Bond. Now, sad and angry, I like that. You know what I mean? John Wick. You know what John Wick is? Sad and angry. Because this wasn't, he wasn't very angry. Not enough. However, I can't totally fault him. Daniel Craig didn't write the part. He performs well. He's good. He's good in the action scenes, but I still give him a 4. I don't want to, I know I said a lot of negatives. I still think it's a good performance, and it's like 80% Bond still from the first movie, but that 20% kind of hurt. So I had to mark off a point. I gave him a 4.
You know, I agree with you, everything you say. I gave him a 5, and this is why I gave him a 5. But this is where we're going to be a different, like a flip-flop. Yeah. And maybe you agree, disagree. So, but
well, you're more of a Bond expert, so I don't know.
Well, the reason why is because this is the movie that you never got to see Bond emotions translate into other films. So he lost the love of his life in the first movie, right? Because he lost it. Now it's affecting him. It's affecting his work. Even M is telling him, like, she loved you or whatever, and he doesn't care. Remember when he's in the beginning when he's drinking and she opens the folder and he takes the guy's photo and put it in the pocket? He still cared. For someone that, I don't care. She didn't mean nothing to him. M knew that his armor was pretty much gone in the movie, and you saw it. He did not give those. He didn't care. He was just like, okay, he's very mopey. You're right. He's killing everyone known to man. He's just killing everybody. You get answers. He's just very vulnerable Bond right now, and he doesn't care who gets hurt. And it happened with the what's her name? Strawberry Fields, right? He slept with her, and she died in the same way as Goldfinger in one of the characters of Goldfinger, one of the famous silhouettes of Goldfinger when the girls dipped in gold on the bed, exactly like how she was, and just covered in oil. It's just a nod to Goldfinger. And you got to see that throughout. And the reason I gave it a 5 was because Yeah, he was very sad. He was very dull. He didn't have the one-liners. But I thought that, I think that was the brilliance of Daniel Craig in this Bond role, right? In this movie. Now, we're going to talk about the movie itself. But we're going to talk about the character himself. Continued. It was just a continue. Like, he was hurt until the end of the movie. That's when everything, you know, he comes to face with the actual boyfriend of Vesper. And that's when you see everything just release out of him. Granted, you don't see what happens once the camera's cut, but...
A terrible decision. But
yeah, that was a horrible decision. I totally agree with you. That was something I think I would have the audience to see. But you get to see that from that point, you get to see a transition. Like, he was just relieved. He threw the necklace on the floor, meaning like, okay, I'm done with this. Back to, you know, back to Bond. Because Skyfall, he just becomes something, you know, back to what we love because of that movie. You get to see how vulnerable he was. Even with Camille, he didn't sleep with Camille. He was. He did it, and she knew he was vulnerable. She goes, "Now you threw up the armor when she, at the end of the when they were about to leave, and she was touching his face, and she goes, "Oh, you put that, you know, that armor back up." And that's what it was. Basically, he doesn't trust nobody. He learned his lesson from the first one, which M told him, "Don't trust nobody." And I mean, again, a different between me and you. I understand what you're talking about. I just gave him a 5. I thought the character, to me, I thought it gradually developed the story for Bond in this one. But that's just me. That's fair a 5. Enough. Main villain, Dominic Green.
No, this villain's not good. This villain's not good. So, first of all, and I don't mean to be, you know, whatever. I don't like how he looks. I don't like looking at him. He has, like, yellow teeth, and he's very ugly. Beyond that, he's whack. Like, look, Lashif, I gave Lashif a 3.5.
Yeah.
And I had my own valid reasons, right? 3.5. And Lashif is head and shoulders better villain than this guy. I forgot who the villain was. And he's terrible. Now, I didn't give him a 1. Because he's not... 1, I feel like I have to save my 1s for the just absolute bottom of the barrel. This guy's like just barely off the bottom of the barrel. And the only reason is I kind of like his scheme. I kind of like the plot, right? With the overthrowing the government and kind of... using the resources to come in and control. That is all, you know, I'm not a conspiracy kind of person, but I always feel like it's the stuff that probably really happens in real life. You know what I mean? People with the money kind of controlling things. So I can get with that. I didn't hate his scheme. And at least unlike Lashif, he was the head of something. You know what I mean? Like, he was more in charge. Lashif was an accountant, pretty much. This guy at least had some more power, but he's not a good villain. He's not going to fight James Bond. I mean, you know what I mean? He's not tough. He's little. He looks really small. He's like one of those guys who talks tough. All he does is pick on a woman the whole time. You know, like he doesn't intimidate any men. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like just the girl, the Russian girl. That's all he does is bother her. So I didn't really like him. I thought he was kind of whack. I gave him a 2.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm going to flat out say it. Okay. I'm going to flat out say it. I gave Dominic Green a 1. Like, I just came out. I threw it in there. I did not like Dominic Green. And this is why. I totally agree with everything you're saying. All right? I agree with you. Something about this dude I did not like. And I knew when I watched it, I was like, I hate this guy. Like, and it's not about, like, because you like, I mean, come on. We've seen so many action. We've seen 91 action movies so far, right?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. And there's villains that we hate on purpose, right? They make you hate them. But then there's other villains that you hate them because the actor sucks and they written the villain so horrible. And that's this one. The actor was not good in this movie. I mean, granted, he was good, but he was just horrible.
Yeah, he was just between being like great and competent.
Yeah, and the thing is like I did not like his, like, he had the only reason why he was tough is because he had the organization behind him.
Right.
It wasn't because he was tough. Like Lashif looked tough, but again, he was another guy that relied on the company of whoever's running the Solace, the Quantum of Solace. Like, whoever's behind it, that's what they were using to fear people. It wasn't, Dominic Green wasn't fearing people, like, at all, except Camille. But towards the end, when she was with Bond, she was just like, get out of my face. Like, right, even at the party.
Girl, like, how weak.
Yeah, so, like, for me, I did not like Dominic Green. And it's just something about him. And I was just like, oh my God. And my favorite part is when it's an awesome part though, is when they were in the opera, right?
Yes.
And he's about to go down the stairs and then Bond meets him and he looked at him all scared. And then he just, my man put up the tire. He started walking out. I was like, this is badass. Scene,
yeah.
Yeah. I was like, now that's fear when you put fear on somebody. And look, it is what it is, but my man is a one. I'm sorry. It is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair action enough. Sequence or action scenes.
I'll be honest. Now, I don't remember. Okay. So full disclosure. I don't remember Spectre, and we haven't gotten to it yet. But I don't remember almost anything that happens in it. Okay. I went to see it at the theater in IMAX. I think it was like 2015 at this point. That's 6 years ago. I saw it one time 6 years ago. I don't remember any of it. And the reason I'm saying this is I'm pretty sure this one has the most action out of the four movies. Pound for pound. Because we talked about Casino Royale. It doesn't have a ton. It has a lot of story. And I know Skyfall. I've seen Skyfall. Skyfall has action, but it's a more story. And Spectre, I don't remember. So that's the only reason I'm saying
Spectre has action.
A good amount of action. Okay. Yeah. Well, look, this one is also 40 minutes shorter and is like a ton of action scenes.
Yeah.
So those movies are longer, and this one's only an hour and 46 minutes. It does have a lot of action. There is a lot of different action scenes. You get boat chases. You get airplane chases. You get car chase. You get foot chase. You get shooting. You get fighting. You get the whole spectrum of action.
Yeah.
It's not a five, though. It's not a five. I can tell you why. Mark Forster is the director of this film. And to this point, Mark Forster had directed Monsters Ball, The Kite Runner, Finding Neverland, Stranger Than Fiction. You might notice something about all those movies I just said. None of them are action movies. And this was completely shot like someone who's never shot an action movie
before. World War Z, wasn't it? World War Z?
That was after this.
Oh,
so,
okay.
To this point, he hadn't made an action film. He had done a bunch of dramas and dramedies and, you know. So you could tell it was a first-time action director because the car chase scene in the beginning, I remember it being cool. You can't see what... It's so shaky. First of all, everything is shaking like crazy. It's like this. You know what I mean?
Yelling again.
Yeah, well, because it gets me mad. Because he's shaking. It's everything shaking like this. All right? Everything is... How are you shooting a car chase in close-up? I don't understand. Why are we so close? The camera's so close. You had potential... Like the where they are, that tunnel, kind of like mountain tunnel type. Awesome. I can't see anything. So, you know, like I didn't like it. That scene's bad. The rest of the action scenes are slightly better. So they're like, if Casino Royale had less quantity, it had extremely better quality. This one had more quantity and it wasn't awful, but it just wasn't that great. I gave it a four because I'm not going to, I feel like it's the most action movie of the Craig movies, at least, especially to this point. I mean, we've only done two, but.
All right. Okay. Here you go. Okay, I hate the action sequences in this movie. I love them. Okay, I love them all. You can ask my. I was getting amped when the movie started because we get the my Aston Martin. You hear the engine roaring, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And then you said it. My man is a copy and paste choppy choppy, bro. He's like a sushi ninja, bro. This dude chops everything. I was like, okay, the car scene, I'm not a director, but I could tell you I could put together an action sequence from all the knowledge that I got. Because I'm like, you mean to tell me you cannot give me wide angles of this car going through through the tunnel? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it was so weird. And there's some things that made no sense, like in certain aspects of that car chase scene, like miraculously the truck rips apart. Right? And it comes with this sharp edge, and miraculously, he's going to lose control and slam into his door. And then from that sequence, we're going to have a 180, him detaching the door from the car, and then he gets back into... I was like, come on. I was like, this is not even possible in a tunnel of two lanes. Like, the guy is spinning a car in a two-lane line with Matt cars coming everywhere. And my wife is laughing because she goes, oh, my God, you're right. I was like, if you look at it, the way he's cutting it, it's like someone that does not
every,
know.
Every shot is 1 second.
Yes. And then it gets even worse Because then it gets to the point where Mr. White goes, we're everywhere. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden a guy shoots him, and then Bond and him is going through a chase scene, which I was like, what the hell is the point? Because I didn't even know where they were going through. He was hitting beans. The tunnel's going down. And the cameras were so close up to their faces. Like, I did not know what the hell, where tunnels they were going. And then, which I thought it was a cool scene, when they go to the bell, right? When he rings the bell. And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. And then he grabs the camera and it falls with him through the... And I was like, oh, this is a cool camera shot. Then all of a sudden, it's chop, 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 chop. He's holding up to the rope. They chop it to the other guy. They chop it again. And I'm like, what is going on here? Just fucking wide angle the damn thing so we can see what's going on. I hate that. I hate all the fighting sequences are all chopped when he's fighting the guy in the hotel. That shit was all, like, Taken. Remember how he fights in Taken that is all choppy to make him look fast? That's what he did it in this movie. Whereas in Casino Royale, when he was fucking dudes up in the hallway, now I'm getting angry because I'm cursing. When he's beating them up in the hallway scene, the cameras are all back and he's whooping their asses. Yep. This one is all chop, chop, chop. Look, I don't like it. I agree with you. I gave it a 4 just because it has all the Bond scenes that everyone loves from the Bonds. The flying, the boats.
And granted, these are our, like, this is our preference of action, but some people may be okay with that style of editing. So there's a lot. So I didn't want to mark it off too much, but I hate the style of the action.
Yeah. That's one thing about me, and anyone could tell you, I hate that style of fighting. And the reason why I always gravitate to the John Wicks is because it's all not that style. It's we get to see Keanu Reeves fight. Like, we don't see him he's old, so let's make him look good. Let's chop it all up so he looked like he's fighting these dudes in like 2 seconds. So I don't know. Yeah. I guess this is, like you said, I'm not taking it away from anyone. You guys enjoy it. Great. For me, I don't like this damn thing. But
and one last note, unlike something, because I know a lot of people might say, well, what about the Bourne movies? There's a big difference. Okay. Mm. Paul Greengrass, I'll tell you what it is. Paul Greengrass does handheld camera work, a lot of handheld camera. And there's a big difference between handheld camera and moving, right? It's a more visceral style. This is not handheld camera. These are big studio cameras where they edit it. They chop the scene a million times so you can't decipher what's happening. The Bourne movies, they also have quick edits. They do. But it's a different style that it hits a little hard. Like you could feel the Bourne movie. I didn't feel any of this. I couldn't see. I didn't know what was happening. You know what I mean?
Like, the Bourne's, you can't tell.
Yeah, so at least in the Bourne movie, you know when he hits somebody hard, it's like, ooh, that he got hit hard. And this one, it's like, well, maybe he hit him. I don't know. Maybe he missed. I missed it. I don't know what happened. And plus, they cut over there. I don't know. Whatever. We didn't like it. Plus
I totally agree with you. Storyline.
Okay. So I don't know if it was just me, but and maybe it was you too. Maybe not. I don't know. You may like it more. I don't know. This movie just felt like it was spinning its wheels the entire movie. I said, this movie's just spinning its wheels. Plot-wise. It's nothing is happening here. He's just like, he's on this mission. It feels very low stakes, in my opinion. It does not feel like he's doing, like, okay, I get it. There's like these world, they tried. You know what? And I'm pretty sure this came out in 2008, which around that time there was like a lot of writer strikes. And I think this was one of the movies that was affected by the writer strikes, if I remember correct. So I think that there's 3 writers, which anytime there's like more than 2, is always a sign of, okay, the script is not great. This thing has 3 writers on the screenplay. You could tell it's a lot of different ideas. I don't know. Certain people are utilized. Certain people are unutilized. Then they just go away. Then they just randomly show up. Then they just go away again. Then it's like, I don't know. It was kind of messy. I will say I found it intriguing enough to keep watching. But one of our patrons, he said it very good. It's pretty boring. For being 40 minutes shorter than all the other Craig movies, it feels just as long or longer. Casino Royale is 40 minutes longer than this, and it flies by because the plot has a very good narrative structure. Storytelling's on point. It goes, you know what's going on. I was confused a few times in this movie. I was like, I don't understand why. Then they start with Mr. White. You want to know what's happening? He just pops back up at the opera, and then that's it. They just drop things that I don't think they should have dropped. I don't know. I don't love it. I gave it a 2. I think it's pretty weak.
Yeah, in terms of storyline, I didn't like the storyline in this movie. The only thing I did like was the continuation of 007 storyline. Sure. I thought that was really strong in terms of character development. But other than that, the main plot of the movie, I felt like we were watching The World's Not Enough. Remember that one where they take Duty Dench M and he gets pissed off and he's going after them? I felt like it was like the same movie. Yeah, well, this one's that one was executed better. This one, I just did not care for the whole resources. I didn't care for Dominic Green. Like, he was nothing. I did like, if it was centered around more Mr. White, I think the movie would have been better, because since he knew the knowledge of all those guys, I thought the movie would have been stronger. Since he captured them in the beginning, he escapes, and now he's back after them. They didn't do that. So, look, with that said, the storyline, I gave it a 3 due to Bond storyline. I thought that was the strongest part of this movie. Other than that, you're right. This is a boring ass movie. Like, the beginning of the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie was good. And then after that, it just nosedives until it catches up to the Vesper part. That's where it picks up again, because you want to know what happened. Like, will he kill him
and all that crap? You don't know. Even worse. Yeah. I forgot to mention that. We talked about it a moment ago.
Yeah.
This has by far the worst ending of any Bond movie that we've reviewed so far, which we've done 6, right? This had the worst, like, ending. It's so, like, somber, right? Like, he walks out. You don't even see what happened. He drops the necklace on the floor, and it's, like, this sad piano music playing. And then it's like, da-da-da-da. It's like, what the heck? Like, you got to end this thing on a better note than that. Either give me a cliffhanger, give me some kind of something to be a... Remember the first Casino Royale? I'm like, oh, shoot, he shot this guy. He's like, my name is Bond. I'm like, this is so gangster. It has such a gangster ending. And this one's like, sad music. And he drops, like, what is this? This is the worst ending by far.
No, I agree with you. The only thing I will say into that defense is basically him leaving his past behind. Like, he basically, like, he dealt with the Vesper. Now he could become, you know, Bond. That's why the music went mad loud. But again, it was the weakest. It was really weak. But with that said, overall,
I gave it a 2.5. I like Craig in it for the most part. Like we talked about before, I don't love him, but I like him for the most part. I like, there's plenty of action. So this is you know what's coming. This is what I would call a watchable crap. I don't think it's very good. I think the writing is bad.
Yeah.
But even though it's a little boring, there's enough loud noises and action to keep you watching for the runtime. And it's not too long, right? It's not 2 hours of whatever. So it's watchable crap. I think it's definitely the weakest of his 4. Even again, not remembering Spectre at all, I'm pretty sure I remember liking it better than this. So I gave it a 2.5. This is, in my head, I'm like 5 out of 10. This is a 5 out of 10, right in the middle. Not great. Not like god awful either. So 2.5.
Look, I'm not even gonna beat the dead horse. I gave it a 3. Yeah. I thought it was good for what it was. But it's the weakest. I'm not even gonna hold my tongue. It's the weakest one storyline wise out of the entire franchise until No Time to Die. We don't know what that's gonna be like, but
we don't know yet.
Yeah, it's, to me, I feel like it's the weakest one and boring. Like, it's just hard to say. It's just boring. It's a boring movie. All right, total points.
You know what? We should have known when that song came on that we were in for a bad time. We're like, oh, shoot, this song is terrible. This movie's not going to be good. And sure enough, they warned you. They gave you a spoiler warning at the beginning. Like, hey, listen to this song. This movie's not good. All right, total 14.5 out of 25 for me. A mixed bag. I'll call this movie a mixed bag. Some good, some bad, mixed bag.
Yeah, look, for me, it's an 18. Straight up 18. Could have been less if I really wanted to be evil, but I'm not going to do that. I was honest as possible with this movie. Okay, you know what to do.
All right, so that is our review of Quantum of Solace. Of course, next week we will be tackling Skyfall, which is the Sam Mendes, first of 2 Sam Mendes directed Bond movies. That'll be next week. And our next episode, continuing on with our disaster month as picked by one of our patrons, we will be watching 90s classic Twister. So you definitely going to want to keep an eye out for both of those shows. And that's what we got coming up.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix More Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys podcast, please follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast or Levels of Geeks on Instagram. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button if you guys want to support the channel. Hit the like button if you enjoy the review. Hit those notification bells so every time reviews drop or once we go live November 1st at 9 p.m. on a Monday, you guys will be notified. Till then, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.